Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a dedicated and trusted stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles, best known for her heart-centered and results-driven approach. After enduring over a decade of chronic pain and illness, she healed herself completely and is now passionate about helping others do the same in her one-on-one program. With support, consistency, and accountability, clients learn how to get out of pain and heal their symptoms for good. If you're feeling frustrated because you're still dealing with symptoms despite all of your best efforts, you're not alone. And you don't have to figure it all out by yourself. Jeannie will help you identify what's blocking your recovery and help you create a simple, actionable plan to be there and support you every step of the way. The new year is the time to hit reset and prioritize your healing. If last year didn't bring the changes you hoped for, don't let fear or doubt hold you back from trying something different. Imagine starting this year with clarity, ease, momentum, and a roadmap to real results. Jeannie's clients aren't just alleviating their TMS symptoms, they're transforming their lives, they're changing careers, increasing their income, having more fulfilling relationships, gaining energy, and returning to the gym. Don't wait another year to feel better. Go to Jeannie's website, JeannieKulwin.com. That's JeannieKulwin.com, and book a free call with her. She's easy to talk to, and you'll walk away with insight and value from the very first call. Welcome back to the show. Okay, one of my favorite places on earth. I went there in 2012, I think, 2012, 2011, 2013, something like that. It was the longest flight I've ever taken. It was 17 hours to get from Los Angeles to Sydney, Australia. And I have a listener from way across the world. It's very early in the morning for her, but it's very hot, I've been told. Natalia from Sydney is on the line with me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, Eddie.
Well, let me first say thank you so much for reaching out. I got an email from Natalia about a week and a half ago, had said that she found me via Danny Fagan, who's been on the podcast before. And so I'm excited to talk to you and kind of hear your story. It sounds like you've been through some recovery over the last little while. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Certainly. I'm very happy to share it with you.
Well, maybe first, just so people can kind of get a sense of who I'm talking to, tell us about you. You know, what sort of things are you into? You know, whatever you're comfortable saying, what sort of things are you into? And just a little bit of background that you're comfortable with sharing.
Sure. So I'm 45. I was born and grew up in Poland. And 22 years ago, I arrived in Australia. I didn't actually plan to live here. It was just a one-year internship, but I ended up staying and making Sydney my home, which is pretty good. And I had quite an interesting career here, first starting as a psychologist. Then I switched to being a body worker and a massage therapist. And now I've been back to working with minds rather than bodies, working as a social worker. And I'm also a really active person. So outside of work, I really like rock climbing and swimming and free diving and just being in the water generally.
Awesome. That's great. We've had a couple of rock climbers on the, it seems like it's sort of a popular TMS sport. People that have these rock climbing backgrounds. So 45, I guess when... Now, a lot of times when people kind of go back and they look at these chronic pain issues that they've had, there's kind of, you know, usually they can identify that they've had symptoms going as far back as, you know, as far as back as they can remember. But there's kind of one chief complaint that really stopped them and put them on this quest. So how long ago did whatever that pain issue begin for you?
Okay. So would you like me to go right back to the beginning?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, so now I recognize that I've had these symptoms of TMS or MBS for a really long time. I think when I was 8, I started having headaches. And at the time, I was a competitive gymnast. I think it's called rhythmic gymnastics in English. Then I had headaches for a really long time. Then they gradually went away when I was kind of in my late 20s, but I started to develop different symptoms, such as occasional lower back pain and sciatica. I also had some hip pain and then knee pains, again, quite unexplained. I also, maybe around 12 years ago, developed this very mysterious nausea that lasted for about a year and a half. Yeah. Again, I had all the tests done and they couldn't work out what was happening. And then the main kind of pain in a back, you know, literally, was a back pain that I started to develop in 2019. There was a lower back pain that occasionally migrated to hips and also legs. And I struggled with that for a good 4 years. And I would say that is the most debilitating symptom that is also the most triggering, the most, you know, the one that's caused me the most mental suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since then, I've also got, you know, some headaches, some wrist pain, some shoulder pain, which I also recognize as part of the same sort of picture.
Yeah.
But it's less... it's less annoying because I know what it is.
Did you, so I assume you kind of did the runaround with various doctors and things like that as these things were going on over the last few years?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, I did the usual when the back pain started. You know, I saw a GP, I had an x-ray and an MRI, and I think I had a diagnosis, not a very exciting one, just L5 disc degeneration. Iliosacral joint pain, you know, muscular tension,
yeah.
Spine misalignment, you know, all those kind of diagnoses that often, you know, a lot of people have, don't explain the pain. But at the time, you know, I didn't have a different perspective. So I continued with physical therapy, massage, chiropractics, injections, Botox, and I think steroid. I also tried medicinal cannabis and CBD, tried exercise, trying to think what else, but yeah, the usual.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. So you're kind of rolling through, you know, doing the typical standard medical model, and then somehow, I guess, talk a little bit about how you ultimately got into, hey, maybe going down the physical route is not ultimately helping me. How did that get in front of you?
That it wasn't helping?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I just went into a real impasse. I think at some point I met a GP who was quite enthusiastic, and she said, maybe that I have rheumatoid arthritis. So I got all the tests, and even at the time I struggled with money. So I, you know, asked some friends to help me sort of donate the money to do this, and then it came with nothing, and I was still struggling. I was in so much pain that basically my life really shrank. I was, you know, I stopped doing the things that I loved doing. I started to be really afraid of everything, and I was like, nothing is working. Yeah. You know, this is not right. But I still didn't know what the cause was, so I was becoming, you know, incredibly hopeless and helpless.
Yep.
And despondent. And in that moment, I remember I was at a party. It was a birthday party of a really good friend of mine. And, you know, I left early because, again, I was in pain. And I told her, sorry, I have to go. And then she said, oh, by the way, you know, there is this app that I used to listen to that really helped me when I had chronic pain. And that happened to be the Curable app.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know, do you know this resource?
I do, yeah, for sure.
Yes, yeah, so it's a resource that was created by a bunch of people that has a lot of education, exercises, interviews, and recovery stories. So that was my first introduction to mind-body, you know, approach to pain. And that's what started my journey on this different trajectory.
Did it seem kind of crazy to you upon, you know, hearing that kind of stuff? You know, there's a variety of responses, if you can recall. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I wasn't so spooked by it because as a former body worker and massage therapist, I had been introduced to sort of these holistic approaches around, the emotions can influence the pain and so on. But it was more from a maybe new age perspective, you create your own reality, whereas the Curable app was very much based in science and in evidence based. So that wasn't, it wasn't strange or difficult. On the contrary, I was really interested and I thought, oh, that sounds great. And I want to know more about it.
Excellent. Well, okay, so you're going through the app, and did you notice symptoms kind of backing off pretty quickly, or did it take a little bit of time, or kind of tell us? And I also know that there's a variety of different things within Curable. There's different exercises, there's different suggestions. There's, some of it is knowledge-based, some of it is giving you a little bit more homework to do. Talk about your overall experience, and if you started getting a back off of symptoms quickly, or if it took a little bit of time.
Okay, well, I was definitely not the case, who experienced a book cure or, whose symptoms went away quickly. So for me, the recovery took about 2 years, to start feeling better. So it was a bit of a long road. I think the Curable app was really helpful in terms of starting to get some education. And I was exposed then to people like Alan Gordon and Dr. Schübner. And just getting that knowledge was the first step. I think that's really incredibly important to start to understand that, there's nothing wrong with my body or, nothing unusually wrong, that I am okay, that I'm not fragile, because I was going, very much down that rabbit hole of something horrible is happening and it's all only just going to get worse. So that in itself was a lot of relief to start to realize that I was, not ill and that this was temporary and that there was a big chance of cure. And then there were a bunch of exercises there, which I started using. Some were around somatic tracking, so kind of mindful tracking of symptoms without judgment and without, let's say, this desire for it to go away. I found that very, very hard to do. And I think that was partially what maybe, prolonged my recovery is that. I found this neutrality and indifference that they talk about very hard to achieve. I would do these exercises, but I had a part very strongly that was kind of saying, I hate this pain. I really want it to go away. I want it out of my life. Why isn't it going away? And there was a lot of intensity. So I think Alan Gordon talks about watching your pain as as a hawk, and that was exactly what I was doing. So I was, I was super intense about it, and I was one of those people that started to live and breathe, these resources and read a lot, but it was almost like I did it with a lot of intensity. Which was really contributing a bit to my suffering, I think.
How so I noticed that like that's kind of a familiar story. I think that people do get into the hawk watching. What eventually had you chill out and tone it down?
Okay, I think I went on a bit of a journey and then started to discover other experts in the field, like your friend Nicole Sachs and was the next one. So I started journaling and doing journal speak. Just to shift focus onto emotions, because I thought maybe somatic tracking is a bit hard right now, so I'll do something else. So I started writing. Initially, I didn't notice much of a shift, and perhaps because I was still writing about my pain rather than writing about emotions. And then I think I discovered Dan Buglio. And that was something that really resonated, you know, his attitude of just live your life, you know, just keep going and do things that you used to do. And, you know, don't stop and just talking to your brain. That was one thing. And then I also discovered IFS therapy and embarked on a kind of a therapeutic relationship with my therapist, Gina Denholm. We worked together for quite some time. But what ultimately helped me relax a lot, and I don't know if that's a popular sort of opinion here, but I went to see a pain specialist who basically confirmed, you know, all the theoretic tenets of like what Dr. Schubiner talks about. You know, he explained to me the neural pathways of pain, and then he prescribed me a low dose of a pain medication, which is called nortriptyline. And he said to me, just take it for a while. It will give your brain a bit of a break so you can, in the meantime, keep working on, you know, retraining your brain.
Yeah.
And interestingly, that medication actually did help remove a lot of my symptoms, you know, which were at the time daily. So I think that was in some ways really helpful because I started to feel less pain, and then I was less focused on watching those symptoms like a hawk and, you know, always anticipating them and always thinking, oh, am I going to have the pain now? So in that space that it gave me, I could continue to work therapeutically, you know, with those therapists, listen to podcasts, you know, lots of recovery stories, and gradually I became less and less afraid.
Were you mentioned at the beginning of the episode a lot of activities and things that you like to do physically. How long did it take you, or what point in time did you start getting back to those things? Because you talked about having a lot of fear, and then Dan Buglio kind of helped you unwind a little bit about that. You were working with IFS. Like, when, at what point did you start to get back to activity, and then what was it? What was the first kind of couple things and then couple days like after that?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I never quite gave up rock climbing. That was something I still was able to do, even with the pain. It was almost like helping me, you know. So that was interesting that I did not give it up. However, all the other things that I used to do, like going to the gym, you know, hiking, I stopped. And the turning point was September 2023. So I told you, I think my pain started in 2019.
Yep.
In September 23, I went on a trip to Canada with two of my close friends. And I was really afraid of going, you know, on that trip because it would be 2 weeks and we would be hiking and sleeping in different beds and staying at friends' places, you know, couch surfing. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified. So I was still, you know, taking the medication. But I did the trip and actually realized I was okay. You know, like I didn't actually have any flare-ups in the symptom. And that gave me a lot of confidence. You know, we did really hard things. And afterwards I was like, oh, okay, I'm all right. Mm-hmm. I can do this. So I think from then on, I started to slowly come back to things that I was doing. You know, I started going more for walks, then I started to go to the gym again. And eventually I also took up free diving, which is also quite a, you know, physically challenging activity.
Yeah. That,
you know, so it was a slow journey that started with, you know, losing the fear and then starting to trust my body more and more and realizing that my body can take it, which kind of created, I think, that reinforcement of like, oh, okay, that was a corrective experience. I can do that. Let's do that again.
What, so I'm curious now, like if you, I'm sure it's happened, but if you experience a pain or a twitch or something like that now, like talk about what's different. Like how is Natalia different now than if you and I talked 7 or 8 years ago?
Yeah, great question. So basically, at the moment, I live almost pain-free around the back pain. So it's quite rare, but it does happen. I have a few triggers, you know, that I've identified that can cause a spike in symptoms. in the past, if that would have happened, I would be catastrophizing. I would be panicking, you know. I would be obsessed with it and constantly checking for it and thinking about it. These days, I've noticed when I notice, you know, a bit of sensation, I would just say, okay, so here it is. You know, I'm having a bit of TMS pain. So I'd probably just recognize this is what it is and name it. And then I would, the Dr. Shubina's kind of affirmations were always really helpful. So I would always say to myself, hey, you know, it's okay. You're just having a bit of sensation. This is TMS. There's nothing wrong with your body. This is temporary. You can get better. So a little bit of self-compassion goes a long way, you know, just to ask myself, give myself a bit of reassurance that I'll be okay. And then what I've learned from both Dan Buglio, pretty much everybody, you know, IFS, is just to ask myself a little bit like, what's happening actually? What's been happening? I think your speaker, Gabby, said that as well. Like, yep. You know, to ask myself, what's been happening in the last few days actually? Oh, okay. You know, I had this, you know, situation with a friend. And what, you know, another thing that is important I've noticed is what I've been repressing, you know, and that's just what's happening, but what emotions I've been repressing or not telling or not admitting to myself. And like, interesting story, I started getting sensations just 3 days ago in the lead up to this interview. And I was almost sure that this is connected, you know, that somehow to the fact that I'm back in the TMS space, which I don't, you know, think about so often. So I asked myself, what's happening? And I kind of realized that I was downplaying the importance this interview has for me.
Yeah.
And kind of trying to play cool. But in fact, I was quite nervous and quite worried, you know, about how I would be able to express myself. And then when I realized that, oh, okay, this is what's happening. You don't have to play cool, you know. You can admit that it's a big deal. So a little bit of self-talk, a little bit of excavation. You know, I don't actually write much, but I speak to a microphone and kind of record, you know, things. So I did all that. And actually, you know, it went away after 2 days.
Okay, so this is interesting because I was on a walk not long ago and I was thinking about journaling alternatives, and I thought about the speaking into a microphone thing, and I've never talked about it on the show because I haven't done it. Can you talk a little bit more about that? What do you do? Where are you doing it? Meaning like on what kind of a device? And then what do you do with it after you're done?
So this is quite a new practice, Eddie, so I don't have that much to share yet.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've only started it a few months ago because I was having other experiences that I wanted to record, and I noticed that my writing is very slow these days. So I just use my iPhone, and I think there's an app called Notes that you can, you know, has also a microphone function. So I just speak to it, and what's convenient is that I can do it anywhere. You know, I can do it in my room. I can do it on a walk. It's just faster, but I can be just as expressive. So obviously I have to be in a private space, but I can say all those things that are unsayable. And what I do afterwards, I actually delete it, which I realize is really important not to keep the stuff, which I used to always keep because I couldn't part with it. But now I just, like Nicole says, you know, just get rid of it.
Yeah. Burn it, shred it, get rid of it.
Burn it, shred it, delete it. Yeah.
are you doing that with any sort of frequent, like a, not frequency, but are you doing it on any sort of a regular cadence, or is it just if you get a symptom, you do it? And then how is this session similar to how like a journal speak would be, where it's a 20-minute organized type thing, or kind of talk about that a little bit?
So no, it's not regular anymore. And I think part of it is because I've gotten, you know, so much better. And when we get better, we tend to, you know, maybe become less rigorous with the practice.
Yeah.
Or I just don't think about it, because most of the time I don't, it's almost like I don't need it. So it's mostly I do it when a symptom appears.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if I am really emotionally upset, or triggered, or on the other hand, if there's a celebration, that, you know, something I want to say. Whether do I keep it to the 20 minutes? Roughly, but also not always, you know, I often just go with what, you know, what I need. And I also, you know, listen to myself and check in whether, is there anything else that I haven't said, you know, or that's alive in me. And when I feel like it's, you know, it has been said and it has been heard, then I can also finish that. Was there another question?
Well, I was going to add on to that. So this is like the totally raw and uncut Natalia that's on this.
Yes.
Just as if you were writing. I think that's so cool. Well done. Good job.
thank you.
So maybe my last question is, we kind of like round down the interview, or you know, kind of bring this thing to a close. There's a lot of people, there's people that are listening to this right now that are struggling and they're in their own head, and you know, they're aware of the information, but they just haven't been able to get their sensations or pains to move or change or whatever. This is a very general question, but what do you think is holding people back, or what do you think is stopping people that are out there that are listening to this from having the same type of success that you have had? And I know it took you a while, but it's important to know, because you know, some people will think, hey, it's been a month, or it's been 6 months, or it's been a year, or whatever, and I'm still having pain problems constantly. This isn't for me, or this isn't going to work for me. What do you tell them, or what do you think's going on?
Yeah, look, it is hard to know, because yeah, can be so many different things. But there's a few things I've observed also with talking to my friends, who some of them struggle with pain, and I do try to talk to them. What I had to do is really get a lot of information to very firmly convince myself that what I'm struggling with is TMS or MBS and not a physical issue. So, you know, I wonder if people are still, you know, fluctuating, you know, there's some ambivalence around, is that it, or is it just that, you know, I need to rest more or do more, physical exercise, you know? So I think educating yourself and listening to podcasts and information can be really helpful. On the other hand, sometimes there is that expectation perhaps to very quickly recover, which may not happen.
Yeah.
I remember I used to be very, very frustrated with that as well, when I heard people saying, oh, you know, I got better straight away. For me, it was 3 years. So it was very much about a marathon rather than, you know,
a sprint.
A sprint, you know, and just really relaxing into it. And then again, trusting and continuing. And I think, you know, maybe one has to find what really works for you, you know, like almost like design your own recovery plan. You know, there's a lot of beautiful experts and wonderful resources, and some of them you will respond to and some of them may be harder to. So for me, I had to find, you know, this kind of combination of things. Some of them I learned, and some of them I even discovered myself, you know, like for example, that if I sit in forward Virasana, like it's a yoga pose, like a child pose, for 20 minutes, that actually helps a lot, you know, just because it calms my brain and it's a bit of movement. So it's a bit of exploration as well. I would also say, you know, it's really hard not to watch your pain like a hawk and be really intense about it. I don't even know how you can, you know, how to advise people to stop doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's also an important key, is to really relax a little bit, and even maybe at times, you know, walk away from thinking about pain all the time and just, you know, just live your life for a bit and see what happens.
Excellent.
It's probably nothing new, but you know, that's what's helped me.
Yeah, but it's nice hearing it over and over again, you know. So Natalia, don't hang up quite yet after we end the interview, but thank you so much for being here and for getting up early and spending some time with us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been a blast.